This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. A few minutes after 6 on a Thursday morning. I almost said Wednesday. I'm sorry. I don't know why. We don't want to go back to Wednesday.
No, we don't.
We want the week to move forward, don't we?
Yes, we do. By the way, I have to mention this. Jason is saying that he's driving through that area you just mentioned in Chesterfield as you're on your way to the St. Charles County area where you smell, I guess you think it's skunks.
It's something, yes.
He says he often smells it, but he's not picking up on anything as he's driving through right now.
Huh.
Maybe they're waiting again for you to drive by. They've learned your schedule, and that's when they're going to make sure they release that.
Or it's possible that Jason does not have as sensitive a sniffer as I do. No, I don't know. It filled the cab of my truck, whatever. And I think I'm to the point these days where I'm discriminating enough to be able to tell the difference between a skunk and pot. Because I smell the pot smell downtown all the time. I know that's not a skunk. But you just see, you know, clouds of it billowing out of cars downtown. So,
I was at Target the other day, and this person walks by, and it was one of those things where it was such a strong scent that not only did I turn around, because you're like, oh my gosh, other people as they passed him were turning around and looking at him because they're dumbfounded. I mentioned I smelled a whole family of people who clearly had just smoked at a Build-A-Bear of all places. So it's just, it's everywhere now.
Yeah, I don't get it. It is all over the place for sure. And I'm sorry about that. If you did, but if you drive through the Chesterfield Valley this morning, I smelled it. I know that, and I've smelled it on and off over the past week. So we'll see. Coming up, we're going to get to Attorney Beavis Schock. He's of course with Schock Law. We're going to talk about the Missouri Supreme Court deciding whether or not the minimum wage amendment will stand. I don't know which way they're likely to go on this. I would hope beyond hope that they would overturn it, but we'll see what happens there, because it is no doubt killing small businesses everywhere with that fake wage floor they put in there. I told you it was a disaster waiting to happen when it was on the ballot. At the bottom of the hour, we check in with Tom Ackerman. He is down in beautiful, sunny, warm Florida right now, where I don't know if it's any warmer than it was here yesterday, but it's still Florida. So it's pretty, and he's not that far from the ocean. So I am jealous about that. We got in other news coming up next hour. Dennis Hancock, the county councilman who's going to be running for county executive, is going to join us for one of his first local media interviews since he made that announcement during the Lincoln-Reagan Day statewide GOP convention this past weekend here in St. Louis. But right now, Carl, I want to get to some of our top stories, please.
Hey, Mark, Tom is 1 degree warmer than us right now and will be 2 degrees warmer the rest of the day.
Nice.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Who gives a beep about Rosie O'Donnell and where she wants to go.
Kevin O'Leary is getting to be just about as famous as Scott Jennings on CNN. He was giving them all kinds of heck yesterday because they dedicated a portion of their show to Rosie O'Donnell and the fact that she decided to move to Ireland. President Trump even asked the Irish Prime Minister about it.
Why in the world would you let Rosie O'Donnell move to Ireland? I think she's going to lower your happiness.
Do you know who she is? Yeah. Better off not knowing.
The British Prime Minister clearly had no idea who Rosie O'Donnell was. So I thought that was pretty funny. That girl, the Irish Prime Minister, I should say.
If they won't do it, we'll take care of the sick. Fun care, not fun care. Let's go save some lives.
Rashida Tlaib, member of the squad, is once again out there spreading lies somehow that Donald Trump and Elon Musk are trying to cut Medicaid. And nothing could be further from the truth.
That if you tell us when you apply, hi, I'm trying to get into the United States on a student visa. I am a big supporter of Hamas, a murderous, barbaric group that kidnaps children, that rapes teenage girls. If you told us all these things when you applied for a visa, we would deny your visa. I hope we would.
Yeah. Yes, we would. I would hope so. That is Secretary of State Rubio schooling a reporter yesterday who said, somebody says it's shocking that a Secretary of State would want to squelch free speech. It's not a free speech issue. What's going on with this scumbag at Columbia University is not a free speech issue. He is not a resident. He's not a legal citizen of the United States. Mm-hmm. He simply holds a green card.
And is married to an American citizen, which is maybe why he's here. And well, to go to school, obviously.
Well, she's trying to stay here permanently, I'm sure. But right now, he's still here as our guest. And when you decide to go and embrace an organization that murders babies by sticking them in ovens, you've given up your right to be treated like a normal human being. This is sad. Listen to the whole bite with Rubio here, where he's trying to tell this reporter why this is not an issue. And listen to the way the question is phrased.
But your revocation of the green card, to many, is seen as one of the most anti-speech actions a secretary can take with his powers. How do you respond?
Yeah, when you enter this is an important point, and I'm glad you asked this question. When you come to the United States as a visitor, which is what a visa is, which is how this individual entered this country, on a visitor's visa, okay, you are here as a visitor. We can deny you that visa. We can deny you that if you tell us when you apply, hi, I'm trying to get into the United States on a student visa. I am a big supporter of Hamas, a murderous, barbaric group that kidnaps children, that rapes teenage girls, that takes hostages, that allows them to die in captivity, that returns more bodies than live hostages. If you tell us that you are in favor of a group like this, and if you tell us when you apply for your visa, and by the way, I intend to come to your country as a student, and rile up all kinds of anti-Jewish student, anti-Semitic activities. I intend to shut down your universities. If you told us all these things when you applied for a visa, we would deny your visa. I hope we would.
Thank you. So we can go back and rescind it.
That's a good point he made.
Let me tell you how sickening this is, and to the extent to which this is being twisted by people in the United States. I got this press release yesterday, and I forwarded to a few friends of mine who were Jewish because I was shocked, not by who's attending it, but by who's planning it. There's a rally, a vigil that's going to be held this weekend in St. Louis for the hostages, but it's not what you think, and it's not, and who's attending it is not all that you think either. Let me read this to you. A local Jewish group is going to hold a vigil for Palestinian hostages this weekend, and none other than Cori Bush will be back in town to attend it.
Oh, my gosh.
Saturday, Local Jewish, Palestinian, and allied groups will be joined by former Congresswoman Cori Bush at a vigil to honor the often forgotten Palestinian hostages.
Are they talking prisoners? Are they talking about what? Call me ignorant, but like what hostages do they have?
That's what they're talking about. People who are fighters for Hamas who've been arrested and are being held by the Israelis after the god-awful attack on their country on October 7th. And they refer to them as unidentified victims of Israeli aggression.
Okay.
So they're holding this at the Jewel Box in Forest Park on Saturday at like 11 a.m. I would hope there are some pro-Israeli groups that go out there to wave the Jewish flag and tell them what they ought to be paying attention to.
I'm sure.
Is the annihilation of Jews once again right in front of our eyes. It's sickening to me. And, of course, it's no surprise that the anti-Semite Cori Bush would be there. But the fact that actual local Jewish leaders are going to attend this is sickening. It's just sickening. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out there so people knew it was happening. Coming up here in just a minute, we'll talk to Beavis Shock from Shock Law. I sent this article to him about the Missouri Supreme Court deciding on this minimum wage issue. He was all over it and told me he'd be happy to give me his take on it from a legal point of view and what the arguments are here. We'll be back.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
In just a minute. All right. Remember Prop A that was on the ballot last year? I know there were a lot of propositions on there, but this was the minimum wage amendment. Primarily, that's what it did. It also put in rules for sick leave and other things for people who were getting minimum wage around the state of Missouri. And a lot of us worried and argued against it that it was government interference and it was unnecessary, and it passed anyway because people saw the slickly produced ads and they passed it. Now it's being challenged in front of the Missouri Supreme Court. Our friend Attorney Beavis Shock of Shock Law is on the phone this morning. Beavis, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Doing fine. Doing fine. So I have heard this argument over the single subject requirement a number of times. My perception is the court has not tossed out very many amendments because of that.
Well, that's true. I think we learned on the abortion petition that the court is not real interested in bouncing actions of the public, whether that's gathering signatures, enough signatures to get it on the ballot, or voting on something. And that sort of makes sense. It doesn't make sense when one thinks that all we have as a bulwark against tyranny is our Constitution, and we're going to follow the rules of the Constitution, or we're out of luck. But they seem to want to give a little more leeway on stuff like this. So I don't think they're going to bounce it.
Yeah.
So what do you think the timeline is for them deciding on this case? How quickly could this move?
Well, I've seen them pop them out in 3 weeks. Those are usually in cases I lost. But the ones usually it's a few months.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the issue here, obviously, the people that brought this were business owners, correct? And I don't know, maybe the Missouri Chamber of Commerce and others were involved in it. I don't know who all brought the challenge here, but
some outfit. I mean, businesses bring these things. It's usually sponsored by somebody, but the little business owner that brings it is not the person behind it. I mean, in the real world.
So I did see Mark Ellinger's comments on this. He said on the statutory side and the constitutional side, voters were misled. The Constitution was not complied with, is his argument here. I saw the other side argue, well, you should have brought that up when it was before the vote happened. Is that an argument the court's going to pay attention to?
That's a loser.
Yeah.
The argument that you're, there's a word, it's my wife's favorite word in the law, estoppel. Means you took a position and you can't change it later. Estoppel's not going to work on this. They don't care. It's either in compliance or it's not in compliance. The old lie in wait model of how to practice law has been effective over the millennia. That's a loser. Now, let's keep in mind, though, that the legislative branch can overturn a proposition. So let me explain the difference between a proposition and a constitutional amendment. A constitutional amendment is part of the backbone of our government system. It's our method of doing business. But a proposition is a regular law passed by the legislature, signed by the governor, which says from now on, the minimum wage is this, the speed limits is that. It's just a rule we have to follow. Now, the weird thing in our state is that constitutional amendments require 50% approval. And so do laws. So nobody can ever figure out why anybody would make an action that they're trying to get through a proposition when they can make it a constitutional amendment, and then the legislature can't mess with it. This is what happened in marijuana. They added 30 pages to our Constitution, which was obviously just a big effort for a bunch of guys to make money on the inside. But they degraded our document by doing that, and they deserve to go to rot in hell for that. Go ahead. What's your next question?
I did. Now that you mention it, I did notice that there's been a bill that's already at least had one vote, needs a final vote, that would roll back the cost of living increase that's in this law. It would allow the minimum wage to go up to $15 an hour next year, but it would stop it from being indexed for inflation every year.
Well, the point of the minimum wage is that people look at poor people and they say, oh my gosh, he needs a job. He's going to have to work, but nobody's going to pay him as much because he's such a schmuck. So, but wait a minute. How's this guy going to learn how to show up on time, work with other people, treat customers well, if we don't have him have some job? So if he starts at $10 an hour and he's sweeping the parking lot of McDonald's, you throw in a Big Mac at lunch, and all of a sudden this guy's got a decent job and life ahead of him because he's learning the skills. So the minimum wage is the cruelest thing for the poor ever invented, because they don't learn how to have a job, and we say it's to benefit them. And so it's just one of these things that's sometimes called virtue signaling. Oh, yes. I'm for that. Well, that doesn't make you feel good, but it actually is terrible policy. And it's just a great tragedy. These poor kids who are running around committing these crimes, I mean, it's a pretty simple explanation. They learned nothing in school.
Yeah.
They know they're screwed on that front. And so they can't get a job because they don't know anything, so they can't be profitable at the minimum wage. So they just start running around shooting people, and well, they get involved in the drug trade. Let's keep that in mind. The shootings are all related to, hey, you didn't pay me, or you took my customer, or whatever.
Right,
so
right.
Anyway, the minimum wage is a total disaster.
I just hope that businesses don't shut down like they did in California when they did the same thing and raised it to what, $20 an hour. I mean, isn't some job better than no job?
Well, some will, I'm sure. Right?
Yeah. I'm sure it'll happen.
So that sort of happens one by one. In other words, there's some business that's successful. Well, I can pay it. All right, I'll just do it and not worry about it. Then there's the business that says, boy, I'm on the edge here. And some bookstore or something, I guess a bookstore probably pay more than that. You have to know how to read. But
Beavis, love having you on, my friend. Thanks for your thoughts this morning.
Hey, talk to you guys soon. All thanks right. so much for having me.
You Bye-bye. Bet. Yep. Beavis Shock there, attorney at shocklaw.com. Great sense of humor as well to go along with it. Love that. Coming up, Tom Ackerman. We'll talk Mizzou basketball. They play this evening about 6 o'clock local time. We'll find out what he thinks their prospects are in the SEC tournament. Stay tuned.
Great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Tom Ackerman live with us this morning from Florida. And, buddy, you're right. This is the best time of the year. You got baseball all day, and then you got the SEC tournament all afternoon, right?
You got nothing like it, man. My Hoosiers play at noon today.
Oh, do they? Oh, congrats.
Yeah, they play Oregon today in the Big Ten tournament. I think we need this one today just to lock it up. I think Indiana's in, but I can't the team you're playing, Oklahoma, they could steal a bid from Indiana. I mean, if they end up making a little run in the SEC tournament, let's say they win tonight against you. I mean, they could steal a bid from us. So we got to make sure we lock this thing up. I think we can beat Oregon. We'll see. This is going to be fun. I mean, I love this tournament, all of the NCAA tournament. But the conference tournaments are very important. So, yeah, we got a huge day today. You have the Billikens on KMOX today, first and foremost. And if they make a run in the A-10 tournament – and they win the tournament, they'll be in. And they are capable of doing that. They are a very scary 5 seed in that tournament. They can beat just about anybody when they're playing at their best. Missouri is not playing well right now. They play tonight. They'll take on Mississippi State, a team that just smoked LSU. So that's going to be a tough game. Illinois looks great. They're going to be playing Iowa tonight. I think they can handle them. They're hot right now going into their Big Ten tournament. So it should be fun. And then, on top of all that, the Blues play tonight. They're in Pittsburgh taking on the Penguins, and they're playing well.
Tom, what about the argument? I've heard some coaches say it. Coach John Calipari used to make this argument all the time, that these tournaments by the SEC and the other conferences, that they shouldn't do this to the players. That what happened to the good old days when who won the conference was based on the best record over the course of the season?
Well, yeah, but that's not going to happen. I mean, they could sit there and talk about it all day. Bob Knight used to say the same thing. But, this is what makes a ton of money.
Yeah, that's it. That's the key.
It makes a ton of money for the conference. Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. Plus, it does give the opportunity for a team to sneak into the NCAA tournament. And I am not for expanding the field of 68. Keep it just the way it is. I mean, if you expanded it, yes, it would allow my beloved Missouri Valley Conference, who I work for, it would allow more of their teams in. But there's a charm to it. The field of 68, I think the committee should just allow fewer of the bigger schools in and let some of these other teams in. Now, the conference tournaments are big for those smaller schools. I mean, you can't get rid of those. I mean, the Arch Madness, the winner of that tournament gets in. I think that's a big deal. Well, I understand the argument, but it's not going away. I mean, these postseason tournaments are what they are. They make boatloads of cash.
Mizzou, Mississippi State.
I was just going to say, obviously, Illinois and Mizzou are both going to be in the March Madness. Like, they will.
They're going to make it in.
They're going to make it in. I guess this tournament here, so the Big Ten and the SEC tournaments, how they do in these could then impact, okay, you're this seed or you're that seed. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus SLU, it could depend if they're in at all.
Yes, SLU at this point has not – they don't have a resume that puts them in the tournament at all.
Got
but
it.
They have to win this tournament to get the automatic bid, and they hurt themselves with some losses early in the year and some non-conference games that could have helped them. They don't have the schedule strength of a Mizzou or Illinois. Mizzou or Illinois, they play their tough conference games all year. The Atlantic 10 doesn't have that kind of level of competition that Mizzou and Illinois have to face. That's how the committee justifies that. So Missouri and Illinois are in based on their record. Mizzou's got some huge wins. Illinois has some huge wins. SLU just doesn't have that to hang on. Now, Mizzou and Illinois, though, have to do well in these conference tournaments, or like you said, they're going to be handed a seed that they don't like and probably a first-round matchup that they don't like. I think that Illinois, again, is capable, the way that they're playing right now, of beating people. Missouri, you know, you're just going to have the luck of the draw. I mean, Missouri's defense is so bad right now that if they play a team that likes to run an efficient, good offense and can play a little D, Missouri can get beat. If Missouri plays a team that's kind of undisciplined and maybe runs the floor and likes to run up the score a little bit, Missouri will kill them. I mean, because Missouri loves to play that high-tempo transition game, bomb threes all day. Mm-hmm. It'll be a fun matchup for the Tigers.
Look like Missouri's about a 3.5-point favorite in that game tonight.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Mississippi. Yeah, that's it. I mean, Mississippi State's good. I mean, they killed LSU. Mississippi State, though, has given up a lot of points this season. Alabama scored 111 on them in a game. I mean, I think it's a game Missouri's capable of winning. I'm not sure they beat Florida a second time. They're going to have to play Florida next if they beat Mississippi State, but we'll see.
Hey, so what are you seeing down there for the Cardinals right now? Any more highlights?
As for the club, no. I mean, their offense is very, very quiet. I think right now it's about the pitching, and the pitching has been okay. And up until yesterday, Miles Michaelis looked really good. I think the Cardinals' offense has to show some signs of life, and the results are not there. They talk all the time about this is about a process. We're learning. We're training. We're trying to, you know, get ourselves ready for the season. But at some point, you have to show results. Some of the players trying to make this team have really good numbers. The players who are already on the team are working on different things to get their swing right. I think a bright spot would be that Nolan Arenado's swing looks good. He has good speed on his swing. He's swinging faster, and the ball is coming off his bat harder than it has in over a year, probably. So that's a good sign, although the numbers don't show it. And then I think a couple of guys to watch, this big slugger they've had in the minors for the last few years, Lucan Baker, looks very good down here. And I think he's had a really good offseason. So we'll see if that ends up putting him on the roster, and maybe the Cardinals can bring that big bat off the bench this season.
Yeah, they have a game today.
They play the Astros today down in West Palm. I'll be down there. Looking forward to calling that one.
Very nice. Have fun, Tom. We appreciate you, my friend.
Always good to hang with you guys. Guys, be good, and good luck to your Tigers. Good luck to your Wildcats.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Good luck to your Hoosiers.
Thank you. I'll be watching closely. By the time we start that Cardinals game, I think I'll know whether my Hoosiers are going to pull that thing out or not.
Yeah, we'll see. That is very true. All right, Tom, we appreciate it. I know he's got to.
All right, you guys.
All right, take care. I know he's got to get going there. So 6 o'clock is the Mizzou game, and then about 30 minutes after that one ends is when my Wildcats play tonight. So
There's
a hockey game at 6:08.
Yeah, but it's March Madness. So nobody's paying attention to hockey. I'm just kidding.
Carl, do you watch the hockey? The hockey games when you're not working them, since this one's on the road?
It actually will depend on what I'm doing in April or not.
So how if you had to have a competition with other people who do the same job you do with, like, the buzzer, you guys should have a competition on you see a goal and who can hit the button the fastest.
No, you don't want that. No, because then you want to make a mistake.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
But you want to be you want to be quick, but you want to be accurate. So you would judge how quick you are, but also compare it to your accuracy percentage.
Legally,
like a TV show.
According to the NHL rules, we're not supposed to blow the horn until the ref points. So it wouldn't be up to us. It would be whether the ref who has pointed quickly or not.
It still sounds like it could be a fun competition.
We're all a member of I'm not on Facebook, but
Buzzer Pushers Anonymous.
No, there are only so many people that do this.
Of course.
And so they're in a Facebook group, but they send me like screenshots all the
rare
time.
Rare air there, yes. Carl.
It's like when they're doing reels, like, check out this new upgraded button that I just got. Like, is that what you guys geek out on?
Yes. Or the software that we use are different.
New study finds this the most effective way to push the button.
Carl's buzzer looks like a Darth Vader's helmet.
Mark
did you know that?
He wishes. Well, are you being for real?
No.
Oh, I was
no,
like, did he put like not. A sticker on it or something?
If he could modify it.
It does have
it,
a sticker on it that says STL Proud.
I did get to see the button. I did get to see Carl's.
Does everybody
thing.
At the different stadiums, or arenas, I should say, do they hit the button and do music, or is that unique to your role?
It depends. Like Colorado, they have three people doing music because their music is in conjunction with their lights. So they have one guy that does the music, one guy that does the lights, and they work in conjunction with each other. And then we also have an organist. And on weekends, we have DJ Dex, who's the hype guy, who acts... When I'm playing music, he still acts like he's playing the music, too, if they put a camera on him, which is funny.
It's cool.
Nice. What's coming up on Kim on a Whim?
What is coming up on Kim on a Whim? Well, we could talk about what's going on. Well, there's a couple things we could talk about. What's going on with Illinois, where the Democratic lawmaker wants to pass this legislation that would make it legal to attack peace officers. Like, I'm not kidding. Yeah. It would be a legal defense to do that. We could talk about that. We could talk about this idea in Missouri where they want to offer developers some sort of a tax credit if they turn office spaces into housing. Maybe comment what you think. What should we talk about in the next hour?
Exactly. Coming up about 7:45 here after we talk to Dennis Hancock. Up next, we got Ethan in studio. We'll get to another news. Stay tuned.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Nailed it. The Fabulous Fox Theater has unveiled its 2025-2026 Broadway season lineup. It's featuring a diverse array of productions. Here's a little bit of the schedule. You can go see The Life of Pi, The Notebook, The Wiz, The Outsiders, Hell's Kitchen, The Phantom of the Opera, The Big One, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child's Coming, as well as Spamalot, Les Mis, A Christmas Story, Stomp, Beetlejuice, MJ, and Hades Towns.
Yeah, this is the message I get this morning when I wake up from my
daughter
nap from my daughter. Les Mis is coming to the Fox. I have got to go see that. So
it was at the Muni last year.
I know, but I
AKA
I think she
Dad,
might've,
get me tickets.
She might have seen that there. I don't know.
But this Harry Potter is the one night show. So on Broadway, it's two nights, and then they cut it down, so it is the one-night version, so you don't have to go to the Fox twice, but also, you're seeing half of the original show.
Oh, I didn't know
that's
that.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, I know. No kidding.
The Christmas Story would be good.
It is good.
Yep.
It's a musical.
Yeah.
If you want season tickets, they're going to be available for purchase starting May 28th. So, get in line. The Grateful Dead is commemorating its 60th anniversary with the release of an expansive 60 CD box set titled Enjoying the Ride. It's scheduled to be released on May 30th. This collection encompasses 60 hours of live performances.
And four songs.
Yeah, right. It was recorded between 69 and 94, featuring 20 complete shows and approximately 450 songs, many of which were previously unreleased. Aren't all their shows recorded, though? I mean,
yes. They encourage it.
Yeah. So
94 is the year that Garcia died, right? So it's up until then?
94, 95. I forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I covered his last show out at Riverport. That was the...
That's where my wife's cousin got hurt.
Oh, yeah. That's where the deck collapsed or whatever on those fans that year.
Oops.
She still has to wear a knee brace.
Which is the only reason they had me out there at 10 o'clock at night covering that concert, because of what had happened with that accident. That ended up being one of Jerry Garcia's last shows.
August 9th, 95 was the day he died.
Okay, yeah.
The sequel to the iconic 1984 mockumentary This Is Spinal Tap is set to hit theaters on September 12th. The titled Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues. It reunites the original cast members of Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, and Harry Shearer, as well as director Rob Reiner.
Reiner.
Sorry.
Meathead.
Yeah. It's going to feature cameos from Paul McCartney, Elton John, Garth Brooks, and a couple others. If you want to see a 30-second teaser, it's online right now.
They've already had a sequel in 1992. It's called Break
really?
Like the Wind. And I thought that was funny. And they toured. They were out at what was then called Riverport.
Yes.
It's always Riverport, Carl.
It'll always be Riverport.
And they were there and they did a concert. It was in April and it was freezing.
Wow. Okay.
But this will be, as they're saying, the end continues. This is the final.
Uh-huh.
Final. Don't even get me started.
It looks like Beyonce is reportedly facing challenges in selling out her UK tour dates for the Cowboy Carter tour. Despite the massive success of her 2023 Renaissance World Tour, fans have expressed concern over increased ticket prices for the upcoming show. The cheapest seated tickets have risen from the 2023 to now They've risen 27%, with premium and standing tickets seeing even larger hikes. I looked online. The cheapest ticket over there is £70, which is around $90. Premium is £800, which is about
$1,000.
Yeah, but $90 is not a lot to see Beyonce.
Yeah, but people are just tired of being this, let's be honest.
But is it the artist that primarily dictates that, or is it the third party? Like, is it the ticket?
Well, no matter what the ticket price is, there's $20 of fees on top of it.
But I'm saying, who would say, hey, we're going to raise prices? Would it be the artist, or would it be the person who, the company that's managing the tickets?
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, like, I always ask, who would pay $10,000 to see Taylor Swift? But there are people out there that will, or did.
Who would pay $300 to see Sammy Hagar?
Me. Hey, that's far less than $20,000. Come on, Carl. All right, we'll get to a Dennis Hancock in the next hour, running for St. Louis County Executive.
Get more at 971talk.com.